This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Astros, the winter meetings are going on right now up in Dallas. Astros are, they're right at the center of a lot of the activity going on up there just because Alex Bregman is one of the prime free agents still out there on the market. Kyle Tucker trade talks heating up. Chandler Rome, who covers the team for The Athletic, made a bold prediction in an interview yesterday. Here it is.
A bold prediction is that Kyle Tucker is playing elsewhere in 2025 and that the Astros stun the baseball world and pull off a trade that I don't think anyone would have envisioned maybe before a month ago. But this is something that they have been considering. I've reported that general manager Dana Brown is open to moving either Tucker or Framber Valdez. You know, Joe Espada, he would play with the roster he's given, but it would bring back the sort of prospect haul that could really help kind of revitalize this Astros farm system, and they need it. They don't have much coming. They don't have that next core of awaiting in the wings to help this championship contention. So my bold prediction is that Kyle Tucker is not an Astro in 2025.
It is kind of wild how things, and we'll talk about Tucker himself here in a second. It is just kind of wild, Seth, how things have flipped, because an hour ago, thereabouts, hour and a half maybe, we played audio from Raphael Stone of the Rockets, yeah, who just recently, very recently, the Rockets and Texans were both quite downtrodden. And the Rockets, Raphael Stone is saying, no, we're not making any sort of deals where we're sending out assets to bring back a big star. Now here you have the Astros, who won the World Series 2 years ago, and there's rumors that they're going to be the ones sending out the big star and getting the prospects in return. Like this thing... And I would put the Texans more in the category, much more in the category of the Rockets. I think their offseason was a little like that, where they went star hunting this offseason. It's amazing how quickly it's and it's not fully turned on the Astros. They're still good. The Astros are not, they're not the dregs of the league. They just won the division. I get that. But it's funny how the trajectories are very close to kind of passing in the night right here. You know what
this
I mean?
This is you know where I get nervous is It's just too tempting sometimes, I think, when you've done something really, really well to think, okay, well, we can just go back and do it again. And think about the Patriots and what they're trying to do up there. Bob Kraft spent years having guys like Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby kind of write up reports for, hey, analyze this team and this organization and figure out what is it about it that makes it really good, mm-hmm, and then we'll just try to replicate that one day when Belichick and Brady are gone. And it's not going to be that simple. Maybe they end up doing it 2 years from now. Who knows? But I think it's, you got to remember that what the Astros were able to pull off on so many different fronts was really revolutionary and in a way that you can't replicate. And Jeff Luhnow was a huge part of it. It wasn't as simple as just tanking. It was restructuring the entire way that they teach and use analytics and bring guys up through their system. And I think they're still very, very, very good in that regard, especially with pitching, right? But then also their ability to find Latin American prospects that other people, the guys like Framber Valdez, who were thought to be too old or over the hill, multiple guys like that. The rest of the league has caught up, you know, not completely to the Astros in a lot of that stuff, but it's not as big an advantage as it used to be because everybody else, lots of other teams started copying the Astros. Yeah. They're using high-speed cameras with their pitching instruction, all of that. So I get really nervous when I start to feel like anything that's kind of like a teardown And like letting Carlos Correa go, letting George Springer go, letting Gerrit Cole walk, all of those made sense back when there was still a better pipeline and you still had young guys on the team like Kyle Tucker or like now Framber Valdez or what have you.
Yeah, man.
I don't think it's a slam dunk certainty that, oh yeah, we're just going to do it. I don't think they ever have to go back to 2013. I don't think it like
not,
has
not
to be a tear down
soon,
that
I
way.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But man, it's a lot on Dana Brown that if this is a time that you just accept that you're not going to be able to pay Kyle Tucker, maybe make the hard decision on Alex Bregman and let him go, even if by not stretching any further. That you're in that, it's not a rebuild, but it's certainly a reset at that point. And you got to get that pipeline just really fired up and going the way it was back in the day.
You could argue that they've still got, even like if Bregman walks, they trade Tucker, they trade Framber. Hunter Brown is, I think, still one of the best young pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
Yiner Diaz is one of the best young catchers in baseball. And these are guys who are under team control for several more years. Jeremy Pena is I don't know that he's one of the best young shortstops, but he is a viable young shortstop that I would love to see on this team for a long time at the right price. And then there's Yordan Alvarez, who's under contract at a cheapo rate through 2028. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing because I think if this team were in a worse condition overall, the foundation, it would be a no-brainer to trade Kyle Tucker right now. You know?
Yeah.
And there's some people still pointing out text page like that it's a no-brainer. Like he's not going to want the number of Soto years or probably a Soto $50 million salary, but there's no way the Astros are giving him 10 years, $400 million, and I think that deal is out there for him.
I think as long as Kyle Tucker doesn't have another, really, it was a weird injury.
And
because he's been healthy, for his entire productive career. It's $400 million plus, and just, if the Astros 100% will not bend,
yeah,
past $156 million on their best offer to a player ever, then you got to do it now. If you don't do it now, then you're just it's hard for me to accept that, Sean. I'm a simple man.
I know. Same.
Because you know what? Like you rebuild that pipeline, and you're just like, hey, you might as well accept that. Okay, well, for the most part, yeah, we'll find some great prospects, we'll develop them, and then we'll get 5 good years out of him. Like, don't even bother with guys last year of free agency anymore. If you trust your ability to build a pipeline that much, then trade everybody away after 5 years.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, and you can't be hypocritical about this, or at least I can't. Like, my feeling when they made the Verlander trade, not the first one, the second one last year, where they had to give up much more primo prospects, ironically, than the ones they had to give up in 2017. Those were good prospects they sent to the Mets. My feeling was, they're prospects. You know, you don't know what they're going to be. I know these are two of the higher graded guys in the Astros system, but this is Justin Verlander you're getting back. You got to make a push. You got to make a run. It's hard for me to not feel hypocritical if I'm like, you're just giving up a couple prospects to then take Kyle Tucker and say, well, yeah, we're going to get prospects and we're going to replenish the system. You know, it's hard to play both sides that way without sounding like a complete delusional homer in the process. Now, I will say this one thing, and we'll get to the gingerbread audio in the next segment because I feel like that needs more time to marinate than we're giving it right now. This comes from the audio from the drive. Hey, Ben, how long is that audio? Just so I know.
It's long.
Oh, 3 minutes? Okay, we'll definitely do it in the next segment. Okay.
Yeah.
But here's what I was going to say. As I'm sitting here going, well, those are prospects. Big deal. We'll send those for Verlander. And now we send out Tucker, hypothetically, and we're like, ooh, prospects. Yeah, let's get these prospects. This is where Dana Brown's background comes in. You know, Dana Brown being a guy who's steeped in scouting, scouted all these guys they're going to be trading for, and there's a reason why Atlanta is still competitive, a lot like the Astros were a few years ago with Correa and Springer and Cole all leaving. Atlanta's had the same thing. Atlanta got ravaged by injuries last year. They were still competitive. They've had guys walk out the door. Max Fried just walked out the door yesterday. They've had Freddie Freeman leave. They've had other guys leave that organization, and they're still very competitive. Dana Brown was a big part of that in Atlanta. So part of me trusts his scouting eye in this whole thing that he's going to get the right prospects back.
And the other part of it, too, is, and that's where I got to lean into with my simple brain, is remembering that, man, the Astros pitching car wash is still very much a thing. I mean, we saw it with Kikuchi. And so, like, their ability to take guys like Hunter Brown and bring them up and develop them from scratch, or their ability to get guys like Kikuchi and get the absolute best out of them, that goes a long, long way. So, I mean, really, it's a test of faith in the organization, I suppose, more so than anything else. And then, obviously, also, you got to trust that Dana Brown's going to get good prospects.
You had mentioned the Cubs earlier for Kyle Tucker, and someone just texted in, Tucker to the Cubs for Bellinger and two higher-end prospects. And, look, I'm not poo-pooing that sort of deal. Like, you know, Bellinger has come back from the depths in which he fell with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Just the optics of trading Kyle Tucker, fan favorite, for Cody Bellinger, noted Astro hater from a few years ago.
It's, boy, and you talk about, tied to that was the fact that, I mean, Kyle Tucker was a guy who was named as untouchable previously.
Yes.
There was a guy that we'd never trade away, and now he's very touchable. Mm-hmm. They're touching him all over the place
up
there.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically,
they won't get their greasy mitts off him at the winter meetings right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's gross.
Bunch of gropey weirdos.
All right. Here's our question on Payne and Pendergast. It's our question for the drive. Since when did eating gingerbread cookies become a life decision? I've not listened to this audio yet. You have.
Okay, good. I can't wait. I listened to this at 3:30 a.m. and maybe I was just I could not figure this out at all.
Okay.
I couldn't even figure it out. Like this is so weird on so many levels.
The Tyler sent it out tells me he feels similarly to you maybe in this whole thing.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So we'll take a listen to that, and we'll get ready for In the Loop as well. Talk to the fellas about all the stuff that's popping today. We'll do that coming up next.